Welcome to the audio edition of the Christian Science Monitor Daily. It's Friday, August 18th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Clay Collins.
And I'm Noelle Swan.
Statuary speaks to us. This past week has driven that home. What it's saying depends partly on the care of the listener. One walking route from the Monitor newsroom to Boston Common, a site being prepared for a Saturday rally organized by groups calling themselves libertarian and conservative, leads down the middle of the city's Commonwealth Avenue Mall, a broad and leafy thoroughfare. The mall offers at least one monument per block. There's a Cork-born Irishman who became state rep, a West African writer first brought to this colonial port as a slave. There's naval historian Samuel Eliot Morrison in cap and windbreaker. "Dream dreams, then write them," his plaque reads. "Aye, but live them first." That's uncontroversial, inspiring even. Beyond the plaque, however, some of Morrison's writings have been called out for exhibiting racist undertones. "No great man is all great," wrote the Boston Globe's Ty Burr in a piece on Boston monuments this summer. But can knowing where we started help us to see progress? How might that be brought home? Watch for a story soon from Richmond, Virginia, by the Monitor's Story Hinckley. In that city, once capital of the Confederacy, a young African-American mayor promoted and then withdrew a plan to remind without lionizing. The idea? Add words of critical context to statues along the city's Monument Avenue. If those statues now end up coming down, might something in that same spirit replace them? Now to our five stories for today, intended to lift you above the news churn to see equality, progress, and integrity at work. Our first story. Racial prejudice is easy to recognize when it's overt. Surfacing its more subtle forms is harder. But the importance of doing so is starting to be recognized in cities that have long considered themselves progressive bastions.
The racial tensions growing nationally punctuate a complicated truth in Portland, Oregon, and other so-called liberal whitetopias. Structural racism may be harder to see, but it can be just as insidious as the blood and soil chants heard in Charlottesville, Virginia last weekend. From Minneapolis to Portland, the moral equivocation of President Trump on the deadly violence in Charlottesville is highlighting what one expert calls the hypocrisy of white people around our activism. Indeed, she says, cities where every coffee shop is plastered with "All are welcome" posters tend to be the very ones where many white residents display what she describes as a kind of ignorance, an inability to see and understand the world that we have created. It is where we get this shock, this amazement at overt white supremacy. In that way, as Portland focuses new economic development efforts on the black community and rethinks its housing policy, the city offers a glimpse of a work in progress, a journey to not just absolve past racial sins, but to stop committing them. This story was reported by the Monitor's Patrick Johnson from Portland, Oregon.
The continuing investigation of London's devastating high-rise fire says a lot about how that wealthy city accommodates its poor, or fails to.
The Grenfell fire in London, which killed at least 80 people, exposed the shoddy standards and lax regulations governing Britain's housing stock. But the other exposé at Grenfell, one that packs a political punch, is the vanishing toehold for the working poor in a city of global wealth, rapid gentrification, and a shrinking welfare state. As the cash-strapped councils that administer London's core functions, including public housing, have courted private developers to build more homes, public housing residents have been squeezed out of Britain's capital. A 2015 report found that while council regeneration projects nearly doubled the number of homes to well over 67,000, including affordable units for middle-class families, so-called social housing shrank by 8,000 units. "Even the apparent gains in mid-priced properties are mixed," says one expert. Affordable is defined as 80% of market rates, which rise with redevelopment and displace long-time residents. The only genuinely affordable element is social rented housing, and that's going down, he says. This story was reported by The Monitor's Simon Montlake from London.
Republican lawmakers may be frustrated with President Trump and a White House that keeps roiling, as with Steve Bannon's dismissal today. But they're soldiering on. Why? Because how could they not? They're doing the nation's business.
Amid a slew of GOP criticism of President Trump following last weekend's violence in Charlottesville, Senator Bob Corker's comments were particularly stark. The president, the Tennessee senator said, has yet to demonstrate the stability, competence, or understanding of America's character, without which the country will be in what he describes as great peril. This latest blow-up widens internal GOP divisions ahead of a full fall legislative docket that includes the president's marquee item, tax reform. Yet Mr. Trump and his party on the Hill share a common agenda that keeps them tied to each other through political storms. So the Republican Congress is likely to soldier on with Trump, whose support they need for big legislation. The problem is his leverage is disappearing, say some observers. Trump's ability to persuade members to do something is almost zero right now, says one expert. He's wasting his political capital on things that are not central to his agenda. It's a little bit like spending your allowance on candy. This story was reported by The Monitor's Francine Kiefer from Washington.
Self-described alt-right groups have not hidden their admiration for Russia's strongman president, based in part on an assumption of many shared values. That reveals how little they know of Vladimir Putin's philosophy and of Russia's history.
After the neo-Nazi website Daily Stormer found its U.S. registration rejected in the aftermath of its disparaging comments about Charlottesville protest victim Heather Heyer, it briefly found a new haven with a Russian web registrant. The publication subsequently claimed on its front page that Donald Trump personally arranged the .ru domain for it in a phone call with Vladimir Putin. That, however, is unlikely, and not just because the site's registration was quickly terminated by Russian authorities for promotion of extremist ideologies. The love affair that America's so-called alt-right activists and white nationalists seem to have with Mr. Putin looks largely one-sided. In fact, says one expert, there's very little tolerance in Russia for the kind of philosophy that the alt-right espouses. In Russia itself, hardline nationalists face very tough pressures. They are the most heavily persecuted type of political activists, he says. Nor is there any evidence that Putin, who runs a sprawling multi-ethnic and multi-confessional country, holds any ethno-nationalist or white supremacist views. This story was reported by The Monitor's Fred Weir from Moscow.
There have been hundreds of total solar eclipses since Galileo first aimed his telescope skyward. But each eclipse offers a few minutes to glean more insight into our nearest star's deepest mysteries.
Americans all over the country are preparing to catch a glimpse this coming Monday of the first total solar eclipse to hit the United States since 1979. The Great American Eclipse promises to dazzle laymen and scientists alike. But solar scientists in particular couldn't be more excited. Every eclipse offers a new opportunity to collect data, and each time, scientists are equipped with more sophisticated technology to study the phenomenon. After all, America's last eclipse hit the same year as the first Sony Walkman. Next week's eclipse offers an opportunity to gather data that early astronomers could never have imagined, thanks to the networked computers sitting in most people's pockets. Researchers are enlisting amateur astronomers to help gather as much data as possible during the fleeting event. One project invites smartphone users to contribute images to a mega movie that will offer scientists a unique window into how the sun's corona changes over time. Click the blue read button in today's issue to learn more about how to view the eclipse safely and where to learn about additional citizen science projects. This story was reported by The Monitor's Owen O'Carroll and Charlie Wood.
Now, commentary on race from The Monitor's editorial board. The choices that Americans are making in the wake of the violence in Charlottesville about public expressions of hate and racism rely first and foremost on upholding the ability of everyone to control what enters one's consciousness. This sounds so basic as to be trite, but it has been key over centuries in eroding the false claims about race. Keeping watch over one's thinking also helps keep open the possibility for racists to realize that they still have a choice and can question their views. Racist groups often rely on intimidation to express themselves. Their rhetoric and rallies are often threatening and coercive. In contrast, those who guard their thoughts from racism rely on freedom of conscience and peaceful persuasion. And that option can make all the difference as the United States confronts the legacies and challenges of the notion that society defined people by skin color. That's a wrap for the news today. For the full-length versions of these stories, click on the blue Read buttons. Come back Monday. Among the stories we'll be sharing, one on China's effort to create one of the world's most expansive national park networks, in part to prevent a furthering of damage wrought by rapid economic growth. To close our program, here's a Christian Science religious perspective on overcoming hate.
It's hard not to be dismayed by events such as what recently took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and Barcelona, Spain. But there's great strength to be found in letting divine love lead us forward. It's not about overlooking hate or wrongdoing. Rather, it's a question of loving others enough to acknowledge that no one is beyond God's healing, redeeming power. I make strong demands on love, call for active witnesses to prove it, and noble sacrifices and grand achievements as its results, writes Mary Baker Eddy. Instead of getting caught up in animosity or fear that things will never change, we can yield to the infinite strength of divine love and bear witness to the reformation and harmony it inspires. For the full version of this article, click on the blue Read button.
We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Samantha Lane Purfus and Jeff Turton. Also, thanks to Kendra Nordine Beato for reading today's Christian Science Perspective.
This report was produced by the Christian Science Monitor, copyright 2017.